This is our goal, that we would live a life that is Spirit-filled. Jesus is our example. Remember that when he went into the wilderness to be tempted by the Spirit, by the devil, that he was full of the Holy Spirit. Remember he said that there isn't anything that he said or anything that he did that he was not doing what the Father told him to do. And he was doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, fully human. His deity was veiled in his humanity. And he gave us that living example of how to live in full surrender to the Spirit of God, to the will of God, as God worked through his life. So we want to live a Spirit-filled life. We're going to talk about how to do that. Remember John chapter 3 and verse 6. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. So there's that sense in which we say you must be born again. Not born of your mother and through the womb and the birth canal, but born of the Holy Spirit. You must be born spiritually, that we are spiritually dead in our sin and our trespasses. And there's that need for us who are dead in our sin, as Ephesians says, that we be made alive in Christ. It's through our faith in Christ that we come to be filled and indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Just a few verses to give us some background and scriptural basis for the life to be lived in the Spirit. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20. Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lies comes from the truth. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Here, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 21 and 22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee of what is to come. So right from the beginning, when we put our faith in Christ, we were baptized and we were sealed by the Holy Spirit. We were brought into that moment of faith. We were born of the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. Now, then we've talked about the need for us to be filled with the Spirit. That means to be surrendered, to allow the Spirit to take control of our life. And there we're going to bear fruit and live that victorious Christian life. If we try to live it in the flesh, we're going to get beat up and defeated. We are gifted for ministry by the Holy Spirit. We're to be praying in the Spirit. And we're to be making disciples of Jesus Christ. So look how it begins. We get born, a new birth. And we are to be making disciples and reproducing those who are born of the Spirit of the living God. The person and work of the Holy Spirit. You know, here's a picture that most of us, I didn't get this for most of my Christian life. Now think about the triune God working in harmony together. You got the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Father is God. I needed a line from Father to God. Forgive me for not getting that line in there. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. And the church, that's the church down there, not the building, the people. We are the church, the people, not this building. We get to join through our faith in the Son. Get this picture. We get to join through faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And the fullness of the Holy Spirit, we get to join a triune God in the work of redemption in this world, the work of reconciliation, the work of building the kingdom of God, the church of the living God. We get to join hands with God Himself working in us and through us to do His work in the world. I don't know that God has another plan. God, you know, when you say God's building His church, well, sometimes we say, well, the church is dying. It's not growing. God must have another plan. God has no other plan. Do you read about another plan in the Bible? The plan is you and me. And fulfilling that plan is through our faith in the Son of God and the fullness of the Spirit of God, that we would continue the work and ministry of Jesus Christ in this world. And He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. We get to participate in that. And we have all the help we need. And it's the help of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we think, you know, we can't do that. I can't do that. Well, no, you can't do that. But the Spirit of God can do it in you and through you if you would surrender. So, here's where I struggle sometimes. Is there proof of life? I mean, are you dead in your sin this morning? Or are you alive in Christ? Prove it. Well, where the wind blows, there's going to be change, right? We're not going to see where that's coming from, but we're going to see the evidence of the wind's presence and the wind's power through the change that comes as a result of it blowing. Well, that's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? That's the Holy Spirit in your and my life, the wind of change. So when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, there will be change come into our life. Remember the Bible says, first clean the inside of the cup, and then the outside will be clean. Well, I think for years, we have probably tried to keep the outside clean. And sometimes, you know, we are all about appearances. And we're all about, you know, look what I do and see what I do and, you know, look at me. Well, that's legalism, isn't it? That's a works righteousness, isn't it? That's something anybody on earth, any human being can do. Anyone can keep these rules and regs and commands and, you know, work real hard to live a really good life. That's my testimony. That's what I thought it meant to be a good Christian. And I made a royal mess of it. But when we let the Spirit of God come and clean us and change us from the inside out, then our belief impacts our behavior. Your behavior can never change your belief system, but your belief system will always change your behavior. So you say you believe, then the Holy Spirit, the wind of change, will come into your life. Okay, so we need to grow up. We need to grow up. Some people stay infants, young in their faith for the rest of their life. It's not enough to just put your faith in Jesus and get your ticket to heaven. We've sold that over the years in the church. I was saved when I was 14. You know that. Well, at least I've told you that. But I've been changed. I've grown spiritually, maturing. And I'm continuing to grow. I'm continuing to change. I'm not the person I was when I came here 2.5 years ago. I'm changed. I'm growing. I'm hopefully maturing. In some ways, I'm reverting back to childhood. where the Spirit of God is, there's going to be passion. There's going to be a fire that burns that you can't contain. There's going to be a desire to be used of God, to bring about the needed change in our world, to impact. You know, when I saw, when I saw the mass of humanity standing out in front of the Middle Creek food booth, and they wanted flesh. By the way, we didn't sell very many veggie burgers. I'm sorry. We sold a whole lot of hamburgers and hot dogs and those big old honking sausage sandwiches. They wanted flesh. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Did you see that mass of humanity that needed Jesus? You could tell who those that came that had Jesus. Oftentimes there was that connection, that spiritual connection, that bond of faith that brought us together instantly. But most of those who came were like sheep without a shepherd. They needed the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the crowds as helpless sheep without a shepherd, prey to their predator, Satan, the devil. And it moved him to crawl up on the cross and die for those lost sheep. The water flows. This is the Spirit's imagery. You know, that Spirit he's wind, he's fire, he's living water. Water that's flowing, water that's bringing and bearing fruit. And remember John chapter 15? The vine, the branches, that you might bear fruit, that you might bear much fruit, more fruit, fruit that will last. So God prunes, the gardener, God, he cuts back. When we want to act like a vine unto ourselves, get all thick and woody, he trims us back. That's the work of the Spirit. That's the work of the Father disciplining us. The Spirit of God produces the fruit in our lives. We are to bear much fruit. So have you been born? Spiritually born. And do you have the witness of the Holy Spirit in your life? Is there evidence? Is there proof of life? Well, in our Ephesians study, I've got to tell you, I've seen this from a whole different perspective. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's right there in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 21. Chapter 5 and verse 18, it calls us, gives us that command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians talks about those imperatives that we are to walk worthy of our calling. We are to walk in love. We are to walk not like the Gentiles. We're to walk as children of light. You know, our walk by faith. But we cannot do that without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And evidence of the fullness of the Holy Spirit is that you are a person who is in submission. Submission first to the lordship of Jesus Christ in our life and submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Well, now listen to this. Submission is both upward and downward. He walks through this whole imagery here of husbands and wives and parents and children and slaves and masters. But the submission model that he gives us is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Let's think of how Jesus was in submission. You know, I was messing around like I do sometimes, mouthing off like I do sometimes. And I said to someone, oh, what about wives submitting to their husbands? And I thought, you know, there was going to be an uproar. You know, we look at this word submission as a dirty word, especially in our culture. Because our culture doesn't talk about submission. It talks about your rights. That you exercise your rights. You do not surrender your rights. But listen to the Bible. Listen to what Jesus said. If a soldier, a Roman soldier, asked you to carry his pack for 1 mile, by law, you were required to carry that pack for 1 mile. But Jesus said, go the extra mile, didn't he? He's saying, surrender your right to drop that pack at the last step of that 1 mile and say, I've done my duty. I've fulfilled my obligation to you. I am done. You have no more authority over me. You have no more right to ask any more of me. So get out of my face. Get out of my life. But no, Jesus said, go the extra mile. Surrender your right to drop that pack at the end of 1 mile and go the second mile. That's not our culture, is it? Our culture is demand your rights, not surrender your rights. Well, also in our culture, we want to gratify the desires of our flesh. If it feels good, do it. You have the freedom to enjoy all the pleasures of the world. Gratify the desires of your flesh. We hear that. We see that modeled for us, especially through the media. Freedom, freedom, freedom to indulge. And Jesus said, sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. He sacrificed his flesh. He offered himself. Jesus is our perfect model of submission. He surrendered his rights. He sacrificed his flesh. He voluntarily surrendered, sacrificed, served, and obeyed. Obedience even unto death. A humble human, an obedient servant, offering himself sacrificially, surrendering his will, silent before his accusers. Submission is both upward and downward. Christ, the second person of the deity, humbled himself to the lowest position of a slave. A servant crucified on the cross. Surrendering your rights, your will to another, submission is not possible outside of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Be broken because my sin grieves. My sin puts a bucket of cold water on the fire of the Spirit, and it quenches the Spirit, and be filled and walk by faith. The devil would call me to rebel, not to remain in humble obedience. So Spirit-filled is submitting, surrendering to the lordship of Christ in our lives, to the control of the Holy Spirit in our lives, not to the gratifying of our flesh, not to the exercising of our will, not to the demanding of our rights, surrendering all that we are and all that we have to the will of the Father, to the work of the Spirit in our life, to do what He would want us to do. Okay. We talked about being gifted. No brag, no fear, must love, will experience. I don't know what that means, but we're not to be boasting except in the Lord, right? Because whatever gift of ministry you have, it was given to you by God. It is a gift. It's not anything you deserve. It's not anything you've earned. It's not because of who you are, but because of who Jesus is and what He wants to do in your life and through your life. You are a part and piece of the puzzle. You are a part of the body. You are a member. And, you know, who's the most important person around here? You know, what I saw is two little old ladies Excuse me there, little old ladies. There I go again. I'll just take this shoe off and eat it here afterwards. I won't have lunch. They were there every day I was there. And they were working longer hours than I worked. And they've done this for year after year after year after year after year after year after year. Wow. Now, they weren't the fastest. But they were the humble servants that God's called us to be. No brag, no fear. What do we fear? What do we need to be afraid of? Now imagine you and I. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If God calls us to do it, he's going to empower us to do it. He's going to gift us to do it. He's going to go before us, go with us, stay behind us. The victory is in Jesus Christ, isn't it? The victory's already won. Jesus already won that victory on the cross. We don't need to be afraid. He didn't give us a spirit of timidity. He gave us a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And without love, if you're exercising your speaking gifts and you don't have love, you're an obnoxious noise. And somebody, please tell them to shut up. Because they're doing more harm than good to the body of Christ. If you're serving without love, you're accomplishing absolutely zero for the glory of God and the building of the kingdom of God. Love is what binds us together. Love is what motivates us. And it's the love of God poured out and demonstrated in the sacrifice of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now you're going to experience when you operate according to the fullness of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, you're going to experience what God can do. You're going to experience what God will do through a life fully devoted, fully surrendered, and Spirit-filled. You're going to participate in the continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ. You're going to do the same things that Jesus did, only we're going to do more, he said. You're going to do even more and greater things than I can't imagine that. But then I remember the example of the lady at the well. Remember the lady at the well? We use that as an example. The lady at the well, Jesus came to her and said, if you knew the water that I had to give you, you would never thirst again. It's the water of life. And she says, I want a drink of that water. And then Jesus talked to one lady at the well. But then she went and told the whole town. She gave testimony of who Jesus was and what he said to her. And the whole town came to Jesus. She did more, greater things than Jesus could do through her testimony and her witness and her sharing about Jesus. So, living a life filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's go back and get the big picture. Pardon me. I like this big picture. From birth to eternal life, it is a spiritual life. Born of the Holy Spirit, is there evidence, proof of life that you've been truly born spiritually? Baptized and sealed at the moment of faith. Filled as you surrender. Our sin grieves and quenches the Spirit. Filled, bearing fruit, gaining victory over sin and Satan in the world. Gifted for ministry. Praying in the Spirit. Seeing others come to faith in Christ and grow and mature in that faith. Disciple making, church building. This is the work of the Spirit of God. It's not the work of man. It's the work of God. And we get the privilege of joining God in that work. The church of the living God, filled with the Spirit of God. He makes his home with us. If you love me, John 14:21, you will keep my commands. He who loves me will keep my commands. And I will love him, my Father will love him, and we will make our home. We will take up residence. We are the temple. We are the house of God. We are the church of the living God. And we are in full dependence on the help of the Holy Spirit to do the work he has called us to do. Let's pray.